Speaking of lucky ladies, Mark. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a lucky lady because Mark is here from Dictionary of Sydney. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Alex.
It's been a while since we've seen each other.
It has been a few weeks.
And I have to say, I'm very jealous because you went to the Enmore Theatre recently, which was one of my favourite venues.
Yes, and mine.
Oh,
and
good. Mine. Excellent.
Although that does now give away what I was going to say is which is the oldest live music venue in the city. But hey, whatever. We'll just kick straight in. Yes, I was at the Enmore Theatre recently, almost accidentally.
Oh,
I was,
really?
Not supposed to, well, not well, oh. Supposed to be there, but friends.
We won't tell, don't worry.
Friends had tickets to a gig and someone dropped out and they rang me.
Oh, nice.
Do you want to go? I said, I'd love to go. When is it? In 20 minutes. I said, I'm coming. So I was there in 20 minutes later. And while I was there watching, I was thinking, you know, this is a bit of an old venue. I should have a think about this. It is an old venue. In fact, cut back to the start.
Yeah.
It is the oldest live venue still operating in Sydney.
The oldest. Oh, I didn't catch that at the beginning. The oldest. Sorry, I was too busy laughing at your joke about how old you are. How old is it?
So the Enmore Theatre actually opens in 1911. So it's currently, well, it's 109 years old.
Oh, my God.
I was wrong. I thought it was 1910 or it was 110 years old, but it's 109, which is still good enough. So
a
yes,
major feat.
Yeah. And it's been the sort of heart of live music, live theatre and movies in that sort of inner west area since that time. So I was sitting there, and it currently has a capacity of about 1,600 people.
Yeah, wow.
And in my maths head, I was thinking, well, if this place had 50 events every year that were sold out in the 109 years it's been running, it would have had about 8.5 million people through the front door.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm guessing there's probably been more than 50 sold-out events over that period. So we're looking at a venue that's probably had about 15 million people through the door. So if you've been there, you're a part of a living Sydney history. So I thought it was worth having a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that many people, it's affected that many people's lives in one way or another, especially and the performers as well. I mean, that's just people who are, you know, patrons.
Yeah,
like
that's
the performers and the staff as well. Like,
and
that's such a long history of
and
people.
And all the people and restaurants and pubs and everything around
yeah,
that are packed
of course,
out every time.
Of course.
So when you think Sydney's got a population of 5 million, three times the population, almost the entire population of Australia have been through that venue.
Jeez.
Yeah. So it opens in 1911. It's actually, it's a real sort of microcosm of Newtown and Enmore history in some ways. So it opens up in 1911 when cinema's a new thing in Sydney. This was the modern new entertainment kind of idea. Moving pictures were blowing people away all over the place. And it's two entrepreneurial brothers called the Zarka brothers. William, who went by Bill Zarka, and his brother George, who opened the theatre. Now, Bill Zarka was also an alderman on the local Newtown Council for about 14 years from this period. So he was probably seeing it as a good opportunity, not only for business, but for the whole suburb.
Yeah.
So it opens first as a sort of a tin shed with an open roof, doesn't have a roof on it, but they put a roof within about 3 months, and it held then about 500 people.
Mm.
Now, the roof at the start was what they called a tent-style roof, so it was just a canvas kind of tent. So on a day like today, if you're going to the gig tonight in a tent-style roof, you'd take an umbrella. A
couple of ponchos.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's very popular at the start, and they very quickly replace that roof with an iron roof, though it's actually it's enclosed. There's some fantastic photos of it, totally packed in this sort of, it almost looks like a hay shed, essentially, at the time.
Yeah, with an iron roof,
yeah. And this huge sort of big open archway door at the front, like going into an arcade almost. But it is very popular. And so in the 1920s, it's completely rebuilt in a brick theatre that it is currently, with a different sort of front. It had what was called a Spanish mission front, which was a very up-to-date 1920s kind of European look, designed by this guy called Carberry and Chard, who were local architects who did theatres. So they did the old Valhalla Theatre in Glebe. They did was Her Majesty's in Haymarket. Her Majesty still go? Anyway, Valhalla is definitely closed. But they were sort of an architectural firm that did these big things. So it was always cutting edge, the best of the best at the time. It was opened when it reopened in 1920 by the Premier himself, so it was a big deal. And it held 3,000 people, so it went from holding 500 to 3,000, which is about double.
It's a big jump, hey? Yeah,
it's about double what it had now. And it was all about vaudeville and live performance. It had vaudeville, had music, it had its own orchestra that they used to do radio performances, and the Enmore Theatre Orchestra used to play around town. So, you know, it was one of a huge number of theatres in Sydney at the time. There was probably close to 150 of them operating.
Wow.
And Newtown also had a whole bunch. So the Hub Theatre, which is still up there,
although
long closed, was there. That opened in 1910. There was Hoyt's King Street, the building still there as well, in 1914. There was Odeon on Erskineville Road, which only knocked down a few years ago, unfortunately.
150 theatres, and this is the one that survived.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an incredible kind of idea.
It is, and it's, I suppose in some ways it's showing the changing sort of demographics of Newtown, that it's always been a fairly popular place. It's always been a busy place,
artsy
kind of place, but also the fact that the owners constantly changed it to keep up with the modern kind of trends of the place.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So it went for live theatre and vaudeville and all this sort of stuff through the 1920s, and then it was purchased by Hoyt's. Hoyt's renamed it as the Hoyt's Enmore Theatre, and they rebuilt it. And so the theatre that's there now, or the front of it at least, and the foyers and everything, that's the Hoyt's Theatre. And they became a movie theatre. So then just went, it got rid of all the live gear, and from the late 1920s right through until the 1960s, it was just a movie theatre with about 2,500 people. So still a really big theatre. Then it's repurchased again. It's bought out by a guy called, this company called the Louis Film Company, and they close it and reopen it as a Greek theatre. Because by then, Newtown has a Greek population that's about 13% of the entire population.
Literally moving with the trend. Yeah,
so
with the demographic.
In that 1960s period when there's lots of Greeks and Italians, it's just showing European films. It's essentially showing Greek language films.
That would have been so important for people who had moved out from their home countries to hear. Yeah.
It's renamed the Finos Theatre then. And then in the 80s, it closes again. It reopens as the Enmore Theatre as we know it now. So a live venue with music, some theatre. Some movies, although they sort of fade out.
And again, such a testament to the fact that it kept changing. I mean, the 80s was so important for live music. I mean, clearly they really saw that market and just went for it.
Yep. And so, you know, all the sort of bands in Sydney and Australia that were just beyond being in the pub but just before being in the stadium played through the Enmore Theatre. And I don't know if you know, but the big one that everyone in Enmore claims that they were at was in 2003, which is when the Rolling Stones actually played there.
Oh, right.
Yes. So they did a secret gig, essentially, that wasn't particularly secret. So the whole place sold out, and then they had to close Enmore Road because there were so many people out the front listening to the Rolling Stones.
Oh,
and
my God.
Fun fact, the reason, or maybe one of the reasons that they chose to play there was not only the size that it could take them, but that Mick Jagger's mother, Eva, was actually born in Petersham.
No way.
Way.
No way.
And then they lived in Marrickville for a while before the whole family emigrated to England and had their little kid and then became the Rolling Stones.
That's clearly why he's so cool. Yep. I mean, his success is because his parents lived in Marrickville.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. So that's it. So you've got all this sort of stuff. It's a great little sort of theatre. The other fun thing about it is because Newtown back in the 20s and 30s was a place to be avoided, really, because it was a bit of a rough little town. There was lots of gangs and stuff. So the other interesting thing about the Enmore is it's constantly getting robbed in the 1920s and 30s because it's got all this money from the ticket sales.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And there's two, they were targeted a number of times by a safe-cracking gang, which was pretty groovy. They'd get in, blow the safe, or they had another guy that could actually crack the safes. There's this great story about them being chased up the street as they sort of were busted. But the other one that they were targeted by was the a gang known as the Pepper Gang.
The
Pepper Gang. So the Pepper Gang had the cool idea, well, cool if you're in the gang, not so cool if you're confronting the gang, is that they would wait for the managers to come out with all the takings and then they'd run up to their face and throw pepper in their face. And then grab the takings. But for the 1920s, they were ahead of their time as well. They had a getaway car. So throw pepper in the face, grab the money, jump in the car, take off.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I suppose, I mean, you've got to have a fair amount of finance behind you to keep something running for that long. So
So they often had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds in their safe. Now, the Pepper Gang were quite successful only in the fact that they could get away, but also not really thinking it through because there weren't that many cars. So not hard to track down a gang using a car when actually most people don't have a car. But still.
Should have jumped on a horse.
Should have jumped on a horse. Exactly. Or running with the crowd.
Well, that too, actually. I mean, or they should have watched some more action films maybe to have a look at how they should get away.
Exactly. But so there is a venue that probably most people, I'm going to guess, that are listening this morning have been to without even thinking that, in fact, they are part of a living history of Sydney's music and live scene culture.
Amazing. Hey, Mark, thanks so much for dropping
in. All right, Alex.